92.9 Triple M. It is Zave, Michelle and Baz for breakfast, and a special guest joins us right now, Danielle Laidley. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Now, Danielle, your book, Don't Look Away, a memoir of identity and acceptance. It's going to be an interesting book to look at. And what are you hoping, apart from telling your story, which is such an interesting and involved one, what do you hope the book does for the general public?
Oh, look, there's a whole raft of issues that I've sort of brought up through my life. And I hope, you know, whether it's gender dysphoria or the disease of addiction or, you know, coping with, you know, mental health, you know, all those type of things, I hope it resonates with a hell of a lot of people, and they can take something away. And it's for people to realise that, you know, they're not alone and they can reach out and chat to someone about their issues. You know, that's what mine were, but, you know, obviously we all have a different story and we all have different issues in our life, and sometimes they affect how we operate on a daily basis.
Danny, mate, great to have you on. Can you just quickly describe gender dysphoria in a basic term for those that are sitting in the car? Can you just describe it how you would describe it to someone who's interested in your journey?
I suppose the most simplistic way of talking about it is everyone's been homesick in their life.
Yep.
You know, whether they've been away on work or they go on holidays and, you know, they pine to get home. Their safe place, their own little world, the smell of their pillows and their sheets and the kitchen and and all that sort of stuff. And you get homesick and you pine for that. So gender dysphoria is, you know, very similar in regard to always trying to get back home, if you like. And, you know, the older I got and the more I was able to be myself, you know, I wanted to get back, keep getting back to and pined for that that safe, that peaceful place where I was me. So I'm sure, you know, all the listeners have been homesick at some point in time, and sometimes it rages and other times it settles down. So it's not a smooth line by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. It's up and down all the time, and it's like a white noise 24/7. And some days, and not just days, weeks, months, it takes over your whole thinking because of the white noise, and you just can't operate on a day-to-day basis, and it becomes very, very difficult to manage.
That's a hard run that you just discussed. Then how do you, you're a professional footballer at this stage while you're having these feelings and going through this. How did you manage to keep that on track, being a professional sports person, while you were dealing with that?
Football was a bit of a sanctuary. It was a way to avoid, if you like, getting out on the football field or coaching a football team. And in essence, that's what footy was. And, you know, my disease in my disease of addiction in my family goes back generations. And, you know, I thought that I was going to be the one that that broke that cycle. But, you know, after peeling back all the layers, it actually got me when I was 15, 16 years of age, because I become a workaholic in my playing days and then my coaching days. For me, what I thought was keeping a reasonable balance. But at the end of the day, you can't outrun gender dysphoria. And not that I ever pushed it away. It was there. It was a part of me. And I had to keep finding out more about it. And then I suppose the double-edged sword from that was, you know, you develop a persona or a brand as a player and the way you coach. And that ended up being even more removed from who I actually really was. But it was a way of balancing out what I thought doing a reasonable job, as I said. Yeah. So, yeah, it's difficult.
Danny, there's some remarkable North Melbourne people living over here in Perth, and I believe you're back and forth in Perth and out. You know, blokes like Spider, Simo, Drew Petrie, Pratty, those guys are living over here. How did you first present yourself to them? And I'm certain they would have been super accepting, but how did you just, this is me, or how did you go about, you know, fronting up to the people that you've spent such a long period of time with?
Initially it was, you know, speaking to them all individually, whether I reached out or they yep. reached out. And then, just after lockdown, or just before lockdown, sorry, last year in July, I came over for about a month and we had a night at, Simo's house. All those people that you mentioned were there, including Peter Bell and Dave
Hale. Of course.
And, you know, we just chatted, mm-hmm. And it was quite, it was actually really funny because Daniel Pratt, who's a great friend of mine, sort of sat there halfway through the night and said, I've never heard you speak so much as I have tonight.
Ah.
Wow, yeah.
And you look really happy. And what I was able to do was talk about how I was when, particularly when I was coaching those boys, and connect some dots for them. And it was like, oh, wow, yeah, we actually get this. Yeah. You know, Simo's kids, particularly the older ones, had some friends who were transitioning and transgender. Mm-hmm. And they sat there with us, and we had just a really good conversation about the whole thing, and invariably they said, well, we love you for you, we want you to be healthy, and we want you to be, you know, live your best life. So unconditionally, you know, the football, my football family has accepted me for who I am, and I'm so grateful for that.
That's such a beautiful sort of story, and it's been a long journey to hear those sort of sentiments. How was it the first time that you actually realised that, yep, everyone's there for you, all your friends, and it is a welcoming environment for you?
It's been quite overwhelming, to be honest. I always thought, you know, living with the fear and shame and embarrassment of what I thought may happen, I always thought football perhaps would kill me. But invariably, the whole football world, from the AFL CEO to the AFL executive to lots of different people that I crossed paths with over 35 years, the players that I played with, the players that I coached, the North Melbourne Football Club, have been unconditional in their support, in accepting me for the person that I am. And it's been quite overwhelming.
The unfortunate leaked photos that we all know about, Danny, how much did that hijack the process you were going through?
Absolutely, it did. I was at the point where I just started discussions with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with my gender psych, and we were trying to, and I hate the word come out, but how it would look. And we spoke about contacting the AFL and having them stand, you know, with me and beside me.
Yeah.
Given Gil's, you know, mantra of our games for everyone. But that was quickly taken away. And it's something that I'll never get back. Which is very, very unfortunate. It's just had such a huge strain and effect on my family, obviously myself, but my family, because all of a sudden they were thrust into the limelight, and I didn't have a chance to really speak to them before it became very public.
Mm.
And a lot of the stuff that was written and talked about was just completely untrue. And I've had to wait, you know, about 2 years before I've, you know, been able to publicly speak to it and start to control the narrative.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. You're now an advocate for dysphoria, body dysphoria, gender dysphoria, rather, and all that sort of business. Have you had a lot of people come to you, a lot of young people come to you and reach out, seeing that your journey has been so public?
Thousands, to be honest. Young transgender people, more mature people who are in the same boat as me and have been wrestling with transitioning, parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles of transgender people have reached out, and it has been truly remarkable. And look, I just want to live, you know, my life and be authentic. And be honest. And by doing that, if that helps the transgender community who have been so very, very supportive, I'm happy to do that.
Now, Danny, you'd be remiss of us not to touch on the concluding stages of the footy season. I heard you on Triple M a few months ago, and I know that you keep a keen eye still on the footy, mate. What have you got a prediction for us? Who do you think's going to make it to the big dance, and who are you choosing?
Dave, I've been really keen on the Swans for about the last 2 and a bit months. I'm great friends with John Longmire, and I just love the way they go about it. I think they'll get there, and then you know with a little bit of luck. They'll get over the line. I don't probably want to remind you. Were you still at the Hawks in 2012?
I think we had like 25 more inside 50s and won the clearances by 20 and all that sort of business. But yeah, we got rolled that day, Danny. Ooh, yeah.
And you know, I can just see something like that happening again.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Cats, if they make it, they'll be favourites. But gee, I just love how the Swans go about it.
Yeah, I say they've got a great level of headless chook about them. They don't care. They just keep going, those young kids. And, Danny, do you see a future where you're back in the AFL in a coaching way or anything like that, or you're quite content watching from the outside at the moment?
Look, I'm really enjoying the social aspect of the football family at the moment, which is great. And just keeping connected and reconnecting with people. I still have an itch to coach. I enjoy coaching people, whatever that looks like. But I also think, you know, I probably thought, you know, through my life that, you know, football was my calling. I was reasonable at it.
Yep.
But now perhaps there's some bigger picture stuff where I can help or influence more people just by being myself. And again, that's something that I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, that's very powerful stuff.
Don't Look Away is the book, a memoir of identity and acceptance, written by the lovely Danielle Laidley. Danny, thanks for your time this morning.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.